Once again, good morning, everyone. I'm geeking out this morning. I got Steve and Carrie back doing a cameo appearance. Steven is going to University of Wisconsin, and he is with that amazing Catholic community down at St. Paul's. And I say now that the University of Wisconsin is probably the one best Catholic college in the United States, just because of the St. Paul's ministry downtown. And God's watching over one of our favorite sons and Stephen by having him immersed down there. You'd make an amazing priest, just saying. You know, actually, every one of these guys, can you imagine where the church would be if these guys all became priests? Every last one of them, no exception, would be an incredible priest. So I'm praying for y'all, okay? You'd be good dads too. And husbands. So, the readings continue to go through the Acts of the Apostles and the book of Revelations through this Easter season. The Acts of the Apostles, we get a glance at what the first church was doing and how it all just was burgeoning from there. And also we get a look at the taste of heaven, right? You know, what heaven is with the book of Revelation. So we look at our beginnings and we look at our goal all at the same time during this Easter season. It's profound. You know, and then in the gospel today, you know, Jesus is setting up that first church, right? He's saying, no, this is the way it needs to be, okay? It can't be different from this. This is how they will know you are my disciples. The love that you have for one another. You know, how amazing is that? You know, it's true that we are called to make Catholicism, okay, attractive. To inspire people to want what we have. And I say this with everything in my being, that I think you're doing wonderfully at that. There's two essential elements. So we see in the book of Revelations often they're worshiping God. They're worshiping God. You know, he's on his throne. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, and so it'll be in heaven. We'll be that way. But we're to make heaven here on earth, right? And so we're called to worship God. To believe that he is ever present to us, ever available to us. And so it was with the very first church. They encountered miracles, healings of all kinds. We have. No, I can count. I could start writing a book right now about everything. We all could, right? Of everything that's happened. Just in my own family, we saw my uncle. Two neurologists said he's brain dead. And I went to a retreat in the Holy Land. I brought back a stone from the Pool of Bethesda, and I gave it to him. The next time I saw him, he's sitting up in bed. Hi, Rick. How you doing? My nephew, you know, the doctors, some of the greatest doctors in the nation, UW Hospital, right? Said they have he has a 0.5% chance of making it. You know, they just give it that because they don't ever want to say never. But they were saying never. No hope. Okay? And we prayed, didn't we? And he woke up. And he's running. I like to frame it this way. He's running our fantasy football league right now, okay? You know, I mean, what about right here in Pine Bluff? You know, we saw a strip club come in. This is in the first few months of my being a pastor here. We prayed mightily. We prayed with belief. And months later, it was gone. It was gone. My brother-in-law's nephew. You know, we prayed. I anointed him, but I also prayed in the intercession of Padre Pio, and I had special oil that was blessed in the name of Padre Pio. He was full of cancer. He's living a wonderful life right now. That was years ago. So I'm just bringing up these few. I could go on and on and on. You know, that God is the God of miracles. I see people are looking for that, aren't they? You know, they're trying crystals and Reiki and everything else to try to find a power greater than them that can help them. Okay? And of course, those powers are myths, right? Or else they're demonic powers. But we have the supernatural power of God. And this is why we can cry out, "Hallelujah! You are the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings." And so we turn our lives over to you because you can do something with it. And you can care for us. And you can rush to us in our time of need. And so we are a worshiping community, both in this world, okay, in the next life. But all of that understanding, all of that revelation, right, leads us to what? To want to do it God's way, to want to live the life of Christ, to be Christ for others. And so it doesn't take much more than someone who's reading about Christ in 7, 8 years old to understand what Christ is. He's love. This is how they will know you are my disciples. Your love for one another. Your love for one another. You know, I was reflecting in last week, and what came to me is that we need to have a AAA rating in our lives. And so I used the words that began with A, but the first one is we need to be accessible. Okay? We can't let ourselves be so immersed in me and my stuff that when we see need, we can take care of it. We could join with our brothers and sisters. Maybe take an hour out of Planned Parenthood. You know, whatever it might be, help at the closed class, whatever God's calling you to do. But we're accessible when we see need. Some people are taking care of their parents in their senior years right now. You know, all of a sudden there's accessibility to do that because it's a need that has to happen, right? So are we accessible? Are we available to people? Okay. And the next one is a lot like it. We need to be approachable. Okay, when people come toward us, do they feel welcomed in our space? So that what? So maybe they want to, you know, reach out to us and get our advice or seek prayers or whatever. Maybe they're just feeling lonely. You know, we're the community, right? The family of God that says the last shall be first. Well, what does that essentially mean? It means that we don't just love those who will, you know, give us a job promotion, those who will put us in with an in crowd, you know, those who will help us to become popular. You know, we don't all of a sudden expend our love for those persons who can bring something back to us. On the contrary, we look for people who are maybe feeling left out. We look for people who are in dire need. We look for people who maybe the culture counts as last for some reason. You know? We run to them first. Okay? That's what real love is all about. Christ-like love. And so we're approachable. We're easy to come to for people. Okay? And then the last one, again, is a lot like the first two. We're altruistic. Just simply means other-centered at all times. You know, I think we've all gone through stuff in our lives, some more than others. And we want to help people like that, right? But a lot of people get to a place, having gone through that, that they understand the pain of others even more. Okay? And instead of letting their existence, okay, be only about having been or being a victim, they want to help others. And this spreads. Okay? Instead of recoiling into our own lives, we turn outward altruistically, right? Other-centered. And we say, listen, I understand. I've gone through some pain myself. Let me help you with yours. And what happens then? Then we're released from what would other be a confined, almost like a prison of your self-concern, of victimhood, okay? And understanding those who have been victimized in their own lives. We're at ready at all times. At ready to help. At ready to lend a hand. Understanding that each one we have encountered in our lives suffered some pain or pains throughout their lives. You see, this is how they will know you are my disciples. The love that you have for one another. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.